Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games. Right here. Woo! For King G, where comfort is king.
2, 3, 4! Hey, ho, let's go! Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Great to be with you. Saturday afternoon. Mark Geyer, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdle. My name is Tony Squires. We've got 2 hours to share with you, and it's a joy and a privilege to welcome to the show the coach of Manly, Mr. Des Hasler. G'day, Des.
Hi, Tony. How are you, mate?
Very, very well, thank you. More importantly, how are you and your crew and the players who have waited such a long time? The finishing line, well, the starting line, is just ahead.
Yeah, no, they're pretty keen to tell the truth. They get going. Obviously, you know, the first 6-7 weeks off when they sort of announced it, during that time when they sort of training in isolation. But now, and then they set a date, the 28th, and the players came back in about 2.5 weeks ago. Now it seems much longer. It's that 2.5 weeks has gone really slowly. So I think now, with you know, 5-6 days away, first the game kicks off. It's extremely, really exciting. They just want to start playing in any way, any format. Just give them the time, the place, enough here to play. It gets that stage, doesn't it?
Des, obviously nothing compares to Brookie Oval, but you do have a good record up there at Central Coast Stadium. Do you like that ground?
Yeah, no, I think Central Coast is, you know, certainly as far as results are, if there's any indication to go by, the results have been very good for Manly. But it's a good ground to play at. It really is. It's just, I notice we've got a couple of Sunday afternoon games. So it'll be a good time, a good spot to play. But whether it's Brookie or whether it's Timbuktu, I think they just want to play footy at this stage. So, and that's what it's all about. You know, everybody across, you know, many areas of the game have done a lot of hard work in getting to this stage. So bring on the 28th, I think.
Desi, what do you make of the changes, mate, to the rules and regulations? One ref, 6 to go, all that type of stuff. Is it you've been drumming that into the players at training in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, no, I think it's, I don't mind the one referee. I've always been a fan. I don't have a problem. I've always been a fan of the two referee, but the ruck's always going to be subjective, isn't it, MG? You know, you've played a lot. You know what it's like. So the ruck's always subjective. So I don't think it'll be too much. We don't really know until we start playing, let's be honest. I think we just got to maintain a bit of patience for the referee. I think we've got to be mindful that it is new. We are trialling something new. I think the 6 again will help protect the referee, in that sense. But I think you'll find that, you know, the general vibe will be one of support. And Peter Vellantis is a smart man. You know, he sort of made a decision, but at the same time, he's pretty transparent in the way he goes about things, and the fact that, you know, he's quite prepared to, you know, to look at it in 12 months' time and then, you know, and see what happens. And, you know, this year's been a year like, it hasn't been a year like any other. So I guess, you know, we'll wait and see what happens. But, it'll be interesting, that's for sure.
Hey, Des, we know you like to get the hands on the boys and get them prepared and up and ready for the game. Now, when they were in isolation, how did you go about keeping sort of tabs on what they were up to? And did any of them come back a little bit less or not as prepared as you would have liked?
No, we're sort of being on the northern beaches, and the majority of them are over this way. There's a few that live out of town over here. We're able to keep a couple of the ovals open pretty close by, good. So that was pretty good. But I've got to say, generally, the players were really, they came back in great shape. You know, I think from talking to other clubs and other coaches, the players these days hold a greater responsibility of themselves. So they came back in really good shape, and we're able to keep an eye on them in different ways and different formats. That's for sure.
If you get the drone out.
About 100 of them.
Well, speaking of being in good shape, how are you travelling? Because didn't you have a hip reconstruction or hip replacement? Was it a hip replacement?
I didn't have one. I had two. So I had that one last October, and then I had one straight after Christmas. So my rehab is well and truly done. And so this will be able to pop me in the game.
Well, we had trouble getting you before the 1 o'clock news. We thought you might be out taking advantage of that swell that's right on your doorstep.
Yeah, it's a bit of I forgot to tell you. So that's not a good sign, is it? But I'm here now. That's amazing. But you're right, it was a big swell.
Given that break wall a workout, Desi.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. I know it's much about surfers making coffee.
He's a Westie.
Good to hear that you're talking about the referees and the new rules and the support that should be given them as they kind of work their way in. Because from what I read in the newspapers, the coaches are all absolutely evil humans who have got their whiteboards out already working on ways to manipulate the new rules. Is that how is that the truth of it?
It makes for good for reading, that's for sure. But I think generally everybody in the couple of conferences that have sort of been on and that the implication is more to the overall positioning of the game and sort of just getting it back on like everybody, and even the industry that you four are involved in, as far as from a media and a brand, a broadcast perspective, you just don't realise how many people are involved. They're involved in rugby league, so I think the whole fabric of the game sort of came under threat with the COVID. So I think it's rugby league supplies so much. For so many walks of life, but I think the most important thing is just to be playing again, and I think that's at the bottom. There'll be a sort of at the bottom in everyone's thinking when the 28th comes around.
How were you happy with the way the cards fell with the draw, Desi?
Yeah, I don't mind our draw. It's probably I don't think there's the space is quite good, right? One 5-day turnaround, so the draw's okay. I haven't got a problem with it.
And the Doggies first up, are you preparing for Kieran Foran to be there?
He sort of bounced back really well. I caught something on the news post the other day, something about a hamstring twin, so they'll have to work hard to get him right for that, but he's a competitor and he's a great player, and one that we have to watch. He certainly lists sides, that's for sure.
I thought you don't watch the news.
Channel 10 news.
I thought you guys don't watch the news.
No, I was listening to Mark Guire on Triple M. Oh.
See, Desi, is there a player that hasn't probably cracked 20, the 13 this year or last year that we can keep an eye on? One guy who's come back and you've just gone to yourself, man, I knew he was good, but he's going past and over and beyond everything I expected of him.
Yeah, no, we've got a couple of young guys that have joined the squad and are sort of coming through. And there's a young back rower called Amali Alakatau who's been training really well, and he's a big back rower, a bit like a kick-out. So there's he has enormous potential, and it's probably something that it's been a lot of talk about, and I know there's been chat about July, August that might be able to get some inter-club games on, because I think it's important that we've got to realise that half the squad won't be playing, so hopefully we'll be able to get some of those games on and see get some of those players playing. It's important that they play a couple of games.
Especially given they're living a life of some isolation there, they would want to be getting out and playing footy without that. It must be incredibly frustrating.
Yeah, definitely. And I think there's still a couple more challenges, obviously. And I know that the RLPA are onto it. The players, I think they're quite above. I'm pretty sure they gave the 50% as far as a monthly pay pack is concerned. So some of those bottom earning players on the 75 and the 115, we're going to have to keep a real close eye on those, because they're going to sort of certainly be affected, because they're particularly the ones inside the 32 where they've got a train, but they're isolated at the same time, so it's hard to pick up some part-time work. But we'll have to make sure that there's a good plan in place for them.
Yeah, well said, mate.
All right, Des Hasler, always a pleasure to talk to you. Good luck as the season kicks off, mate.
Thank you. Look forward to chatting to you in the future. Cheers.
See you, Desi.
Thanks, Des.
Bye-bye.
Man in charge of Manly, Desi Hasler.
I tell you, he was... I didn't want to say it while he was on, because I might have embarrassed him, but, you know, he's talking about players coming back in great nick. I think Desi Hasler was kind of 30 years before his time, because a fitter player you would never have found. Kangaroo tours, he would be on his own, you know, training, doing some stuff with Johnny Lewis, and attention to detail from his playing career has certainly travelled over to his coaching career as well.
He was an absolute fitness freak, wasn't he, as a football player, just bouncing around, amazing to watch. And still amazing to watch and listen to. Des Hasler.
In the commentary box.
Absolutely. We'll talk about the broadcast deal next. Not just about who you're playing, but where will you be watched in your team on Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
This is the Saturday Scrum. Ryan Girdler, Emma Lawrence, MG is with us, and Tony Squires. We're doing it all for our good friends at King G, and we thank them so much for their support as ever. Now, talking about the broadcast deal, now we know who our teams are playing, and the question then became, where do we get to watch them? Are they on free-to-air television? Are they on Fox? Are they on both? All of those things. And I get to the detail of some of the people who weren't happy. But first, Justin, I think he was talking to you, MG, on your wonderful Rush Hour program, where Peter Volandis had this to say.
And I think that we're nearly there. I think we've nearly got a deal. The ARL Commission signed off on it on Monday. I've always said if all three of us walked away unhappy, it means we've got a good deal. And all three of us have walked away unhappy. So,
yes, that's the nature of negotiation right there.
Just with him, it's, ever since that first press conference with him and Todd Greenberg, and basically the second thing he said was we're going to lean on the government for some assistance. He's always been two or three steps in front of everybody. And what he says, everything he said to, so far has come to fruition. He said to us last, I think that was Wednesday last week, we asked him about when the broadcast deal will be done. He said it'll be done. Oh, sorry, the referees. He said that'll be done by the weekend. We said, what about the broadcast deal? He said, well, that'll be probably the week after, if you know, before we play. So you could imagine that. With a broadcast deal, you've got to imagine that Fox and Channel 9's ratings will go through the roof. Yeah. As far as the spectacle goes, it's going to reach eyes over in England. We spoke about this last week. Sky Sport or something, watching every NRL game. America are going to be tuned in. Europe are going to be tuned in. So, look, he's done what he's done, and he said everything he said and done it. So that's kind of why we keep... hounding on about how good this bloke is, because he doesn't talk shit and he gets it done.
Indeed, and I think that certainly with Fox Sports, they're going to extend their deal. Channel 9 as yet haven't done that. I know that it's, you know, the existing deal, the money's there. There was some compensation for this year because, as we know, it's an extraordinary season. So it'll be interesting to know what the details are of the deal as it goes forward. But just, I guess, the sticking point, it seems to be, and it's just a surface thing, obviously.
Oh, sticking point.
Yes,
I like that.
Is Ricky Stewart. Yes. Yeah.
Sticky.
Now, he says that given that the Raiders, they're in the grand final last year.
Yeah.
And I think a terrific football team to watch play. Mm-hmm. They, I think it's three games on free-to-air this season compared to something like, I don't know, dozen for the
Broncos.
Eels, for the example. Well, the Broncos, and the Broncos are always going to, the Broncos are always going to do that because you kind of, you have the Queensland audience and you know, you want to have that, both New South Wales, Queensland. Yeah. You can sort of understand how that happens. Mm. Ricky said, I don't think they like the Raiders, and then went even further and said, I don't think Channel 9 likes rugby league, which is, you know, who knows where they are within that. But it does seem an unusual thing that they only get the three games. What are your thoughts?
Well, I sort of agree with Ricky to the point where I think all clubs should get a certain amount of televised free-to-air games every season, because, I mean, I think the NRL needs to be strong in these negotiations and look after the shareholders in the game that mainly are the clubs, aren't they? And so, you know, I understand the ratings, and they're paying big money to get the ratings, and they sell the advertising. I understand how all that works. But if you're a club and like you've got the Parramatta Eels that are getting Brisbane Broncos, sorry, getting 15 televised games, and then you've got the another club like the Gold Coast Titans who were competing for the same corporate spend up there get one. I mean, look, I don't think the Gold Coast Titans should get, you know, 10 free-to-air games, but I think the NRL should go in with a pretty solid mandate around, okay, well, then all of my clubs need to get at least, say, a minimum of 5 free-to-air TV games per year, because I think only 15 to 20% of the population in Australia have Foxtel.
Yep.
So essentially, one, you know, the corporate spend that we spoke about, so they can compete for those dollars because, you know, people value, there's a big value in that for those clubs and their marketing departments, but also from a perspective of they've got to I forgot what I was going to say.
But the thing is,
and you're back.
What you're saying is absolutely right. But the thing is, at the moment, I guess the broadcasters that they are playing with the larger cards, even though
it'll come to me, Tony.
Yeah, I know. We'll jump
just
back.
Keep
when,
talking about. Just it.
Yeah. I don't mind. Originally, I didn't agree with you, and I thought, well, the broadcasters are the ones paying the money, and the ratings do differ significantly. But perhaps somewhere to meet in the middle could be just a minimum. So you still have teams that have far more free-to-air games, but if they can just get, the minimum.
That's where I was at, Tony. Okay.
Oh, and we're back.
Thank you. And the fans, like, so this year you can't watch a game. Yeah, well, we until round 9. So if I'm a Warriors fan and everyone's their second club, they've got one game, I don't have free-to-air because I've been put off or whatever and I can't afford to get Foxtel. I get to see them play once this year and you have to listen to Triple M, but I only get to visually see them one time this year.
You've got to get Fox. Fair, does it?
Yeah, but if you can't afford it, if you've lost your job and, you know, times are tough, the economy, we don't know where that's going to land up.
I honestly don't know how anybody lives without it.
Well, there's plenty that do, and we need to look after everyone because it's a blue-collar game, Tony.
I get that. The issue is that the broadcast deal is so crucial at the moment to the survival of this game. At the moment, that's where the bottom line is. Without that money, there's nothing. The clubs aren't there. There's no poker machines going on at the moment. There's no crowds going on in there. So they need the cash. So they're in a position of some strength. Plus, if you're negotiating that, there's no way that I'm going to. It's like saying asking me to go to a restaurant and pay the same price for, I don't know, a ribeye on the bone as a Caesar salad. If you want the big games, that's what you're going to pay for. In the prime time moments. Yep. Otherwise, the deal.
But there
like
needs
that.
To be a compromise, and the game need to be strong in that compromise and say, okay, well then maybe we accept a little bit less, but then we need to look after the stakeholders in our game and make sure that they're flush with funds and they can leverage off this TV deal and actually run their business as well. And they need to value, they need to weigh out what's more important. And I think they'll, if they get the right balance, and I think Volandis will probably is a guy that'll probably work around all those different strategies. Hopefully they come out with the right deal. But I think Ricky's right. It's unfair that, you know, certain clubs only get a certain amount of games broadcast on, you know, free-to-air TV, and that really does, it really hurts their business model.
Totally. Well, Nick Politis, who was, I think, a mate of Peter Volandis, he's described it not as a draw, but as a TV schedule.
I think that's, you know, we're asking basically for a record amount of money for this broadcast deal in these circumstances, which is extraordinary, is just to think about that. So you've got to think that the TV networks who are paying so much to keep our game afloat have majority say in what goes on their TV. I agree with both yourself, Tone, and Gerds on this. I think that if I'm a Channel 9 head honcho or a Fox head honcho and I'm looking at the ratings and we go, okay, when the Raiders play, they get an average of 120,000 viewers compared to the Broncos and the Roosters get 300. It's kind of a no-brainer who you're going to put on TV more times because more eyes want to see them. And that means that more sponsorship dollars go through that network because them games are a bigger one. Like, it's just, but I also believe that, as Gerd said, if you've got Fox, you can't see them play. Like, I think Titans have got one TV game.
Yeah.
Cowboys have got 3 or 4. So, yeah, I think there's got to be a happy medium as well.
Yeah, and look, and as we've said all along, Peter Volandis, though, is a tough nut. So you'd imagine that going forward, I mean, I mentioned earlier about what the details are of this broadcast deal as it evolves, he may well grab back some of that control.
Yeah, this is what I get out of Peter Volandis watching him operate. They say that you're never really negotiating unless you're willing to say no. And he actually strikes me as the guy that's always willing to say no. Yes. So that's why he's such a good negotiator.
Absolutely. We're going to speak with Damien Cook from the South Sydney Rabbitohs next on The Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
To be with you as we head towards kickoff, the second kickoff of the season. And one of the games, of course, everybody has been looking forward to will be the Rabbitohs taking on the Roosters, and the man in the number 9 jersey for the Cardinal and Myrtle is Damon Cook, and he joins us right now. G'day, mate.
Afternoon, guys. How you going?
Very, very well, thank you. You sick of TikTok and ready to play some rugby league?
Oh, everybody involved. I had a few cameos of Alex Johnson's one, but yeah, definitely happy footy's back.
How is the mood in the group? There's been a bit going on. How are you feeling heading towards this huge game?
Really good. We've had the last couple of weeks of training been really good for us, and you know, we probably put it down to, you know, the full squad, where this reserve grade at the moment obviously don't have any footy, so they've really lifted the intensity of the session, because they're not going to be playing many games and everyone's fighting for their positions and having that competition. So it's been really good that we felt like we've had a couple sort of in-house trials, sort of getting the bodies ready for that contact, and everyone's just excited to be back.
Hey, Cookie, it's Emma Lawrence. Obviously, massive loss not having Cody for a couple of weeks, but we've heard this name, Troy Dargan, the young kid. It'd be a massive stage to be playing against the Roosters. I know you probably can't give too much insight into how Wayne's going to go, but tell us a bit about Dargan.
Yeah, look, Wayne will make the final call, but obviously Darg spent a bit of time there as well in the halves and played with myself there. He does a really good job. He's a great runner of the ball. He's really confident in getting the team around the field. So, you know, we've just got to make sure we do our part for him as well and make sure we're doing the right things. And if he does get to debut next week, then, you know, we've got to make sure we look after him and do the best we can for him, because he's a young halfback, first game against the, you know, the best team in the comp.
Hey, Cookie, how difficult has it been for the individual players getting prepared, doing a pre-season, playing a couple of games, then sort of going back into a semi-hibernation and having to sort of keep fit, not knowing, having the mindset of, well, are we going to play again this year? How serious do I take this? I've got no one to train with. And then all of a sudden getting the green light and sort of having to hit the gas button again. Did you feel like you were starting all over again? Did you feel like you only needed to sort of put a couple of extra things in place because you kept yourself in a pretty good shape anyway? How was that sort of that whole program for you?
Yeah, everyone was different, and everyone, you know, some people might be better at others at being self-motivated to sort of get training, and the others like to have that structure where they're going to train every day and training with the boys as well. So obviously you're allowed to train with one person every now and then. So, you know, we're able to, you know, catch up and do some running sessions with another person, which obviously helped. And then everyone tried to stay in touch with their weights as much as they possible by, you know, getting, I was lucky I got a mate who's got a gym and took some equipment from him, and a lot of the other boys got some equipment from Redfern. And for me, mate, I haven't had a long pre-season the last couple of years for good reasons, obviously, just with some games at the end of the year. So I use the time to sort of get a couple of extra weeks of pre-season sort of weights and running under my belt, feeling really, really good. And at the start of isolation, I think we all spoke about just have 2 weeks off and do nothing and sort of have a mini break there, and we'll get a better idea when the competition's going to be coming back on and how we'll start up. But, you know, the high-performance team are really good with that.
Cookie, you'll be playing your games out of Bankwest Stadium, which is a great venue. How many times have you played there so far, buddy?
I've played once there, I think.
Okay.
One game I didn't play, and then another one against the Tigers, and Ryan Madison scored made a break up in the middle, scored right at the end to steal the victory. So it was a couple of times I've been there, though. The surface was quite slippery one time, and then the next time was perfect. So it's a great ground. And yeah, obviously we're not going to have the atmosphere of the crowd there. But, you know, that's, well, I think we're going to be playing our games there anyway when they were talking about pulling ANZ Stadium down. So made all for it.
The refs are all on board. That's all happened as of last night. The new rules, the six again, the ruck infringements. You were going to be right in the centre of all that. How are you feeling?
Yeah, mate, feeling good. Obviously, it would just take a few days for everyone to sort of adapt to how it's going to be interpreted, the rules and what's going on. We got a bit of a better understanding this morning of what they're going to be looking for. So, you know, having that one ref, he's going to be able to control the game on his terms, not have anyone else in his ear, I guess, calling the shots. So, you know, that'll be one positive. But obviously around the ruck, you know, just get a, as a hooker, probably just see how the game's going and get an understanding for each game and work your way into it before you try and take advantage of those situations. But there are going to be some good times where teams are going to have six again, and when a new rule or comes in, it's interesting to see how those teams find an advantage out of that. So, but definitely take a few games, but don't want to overplay our hand. Sometimes it's better to use those extra six tackles to get some good field position and go from there.
And I think the latest update we'd heard on James Roberts was that he had to get tested for COVID now that he's out of his rehab facility. Has he joined you guys yet again?
Yeah, he was at training today, yeah. And it was great to have him back there. He had a big smile on his face and excited to be back around the boys, I think. So, and obviously, he had to go. I think he must have got tested yesterday, and obviously all good. That's why he was there today and had the footy back in his hands and playing some footy. So that's what all we wanted, is James to take as much time as he needed. And when he was ready to come back, we're waiting for him. So it's good to have him there.
Thoughts on Origin in November, Cookie?
I'm just glad it's getting played. I think looking at the game as a fan, it'd be weird to go a season without playing State of Origin or having it on TV. So I'm glad they found some time for it and got it in. It's obviously going to be different conditions. I saw the schedules 3 weeks in a row, so I'd be quite over and done with quite quickly. And the conditions will be a little bit warmer at that time of year too.
And obviously, I guess this COVID period has affected you, not just as a footy player, but as a business owner. Is La Cure Wellness, is it back up and running? And give it a bit of a plug.
Yeah, no, thank you. As La Cure Wellness is back open at the moment. So we did have a bit of a hit there where we had to close, like a lot of other businesses. But at the moment, we've been allowed to open. I think massage and IV drip and our retail part has all been able to open up, which is great for us and obviously the staff that we had working for us.
And Damien Cook, of course, your teammate, Greg Inglis, announcing he's coming out of retirement, heading to Warrington. What do you make of that?
Hey, it was a shock waking up the next morning and finding that out. But I think it's great. I think Greg is going to obviously... You know, he retired on his terms over here and his body probably didn't let him, and probably a lot of other things he didn't feel like the expectation he put on himself to compete over here, and took some time away and done what he needed to do. And he's going to go over there. He's got one of his best mates, Jason Clark, there as well. He's going to enjoy his footage. Talk about it not being as, a bit more. They're not going to expect too much of him over there. I don't think he'll really be able to enjoy himself and see out his career the way he was meant to.
All right, mate. Well, look, thanks so much for joining us on the show and good luck with the first game back. It is huge against the Roosters and for the season beyond. Thanks, mate.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Great.
There he is, Damien Cook. We'll get into a bit more detail about Greg Inglis. Love to get your thoughts on, as I said, him playing for Warrington. This is the Saturday Scrum, Triple M.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Just talking to Damien Cook from the South Sydney Rabbitohs, he was a bit surprised to hear that his former teammate Greg Inglis has made that decision. He will head to Warrington for the 2021 season. I first noticed it, I think, I followed Gareth Widdop on Instagram, and there it was. He had posted a picture of he and GI wearing the Warrington gear and saying, you know, looking forward to this, which will be enormous for them. Steve Price is the coach. Jason Clark, of course, a former teammate of GI's, was, I think, instrumental as well in getting him across there. Were you surprised to hear of this news?
Yeah, well, I was, but then sort of when the dust settled, it all made a little bit more sense, given the fact that, you know, the way it ended over here for him at South Sydney, it was never really clear. Obviously, there was some injury and there were some other issues it was facing at the time, and Cookie just spoke about, you know, the expectation he puts on himself and the pressure that the best always do. But MG, he'll remember the process as well. There's a process you need to go through after you've been playing a certain sport or professional sport for a certain period of time that you need closure on, and you kind of go through it in that last year. You kind of know that it's your last year, and then every game you sort of you count down, not in a way of I can't wait till this is over, but in a knowing how many got left, and then you get to say goodbye to the fans. And I don't know, there was just a process that you went through, and then by the end of it, you sat down and you went, right, that's it, I'm done, I've ticked the boxes. I just don't think he had the opportunity over here to go through that process, and I think it's going to be such a good thing for him mentally to get over to England. You spoke about not as much expectation. I think he probably needs 6 weeks to get himself fit. He's not doing it for the financial part of it. He's obviously going over there because he still feels he's got something, not to prove to himself, but a process that he needs to work through before he retires from the game that he's loved and played since he was 6 or 7 years old, and I'm really happy for him.
And you know that a lot of them say they get to the point where they retire and they have that year off and they don't still have that itch, but obviously he still did. And after listening to him speak this week, it did make a bit more sense that it seemed to be a bit more to do with how he was feeling mentally, whereas I think most of us were under the impression that it had more to do with his physical condition. But, you know, if it was more so that and he's now in a better headspace to be able to go back and he feels like he doesn't have that closure, then I think it's a good decision. And, I mean, it's great for rugby league fans out there to see one of the, you know, best players to play our game doing it once again.
Yeah, like most people, we all have alerts on our mobile phones that come through from various apps. And when the Fox Sports one came through the other night, Inglis set the play or come out of retirement, I went, wow, the Rabbitohs backline's going to be mad with him involved in it. You know, but now, as again, reading through the process of Warrington and why he's done it, I say good on him. I retired in 2000 and didn't even think about playing again. I'd had enough. I didn't think I was going to retire. I was 2 days before turning up to pre-season training, and Roy Simmons at the time was the coach, my ex-teammate, and he said, "Big fella, come and see me." And I went in to see him, and he had two big screens set up in his office there at Crean Avenue in Penrith, and on one of them was me in like my 1991 gear. And I'm thinking, what's he got? And the other TV had me in my 2000 jersey and he had a couple of runs that I was doing. I said, "Why are you putting that one in like slow motion?" He goes, "No, that's how you play." And I went, "Oh, far out." I said, "Well, thank you." I didn't realise how much I'd lost, how slow I'd gotten and how cumbersome I'd become. So thank you for helping me with the decision, because I wasn't going to make it on my own.
Yeah.
And the fact that I had someone in trust had my back and done that for me, I was lucky. But a lot of blokes aren't. A lot of blokes play that 1 or 2 years too long, and their legacy is of that. That's how you remember them. And the fact that GI is going to do it overseas now, the English people are going to be treated to some magic when he gets there.
He had originally said he might have a run around, I think it was for Maxville, his junior club in New South Wales, but they thought, well, no, he can probably do something a little bit more high profile than that. And certainly,
well, he's only, what is he, 30, 31?
33, or 32.
Yeah, early 30s.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so he's got a few good years in him.
Yeah.
But have a think about, you know, I think you were going to mention then the Warrington side. I mean, there's some good players in that. You've got Inglis. You've got Israel Folau over there as well. You've got Sonny B. Williams playing for Toronto. So there's some big names in that Super League this year.
Absolutely there is. And Steve Price, the coach of Warrington, said the thing that got him across the line was the way GI was talking, that what he wanted was to win premierships in two countries. You know, he's won it here, and he's got an aim, and that aim is lofty, as you'd expect, as you said, from the best. They aim very, very high. And, you know, in his case, achieve. So there's one returning. Here's another one. The voice you're about to hear belongs to the great Paul Gallen. We talked about the Warriors and the things they need and the issues that they're going through with their roster and injuries and so on, and the idea of lending players to them. Well, here's a man who's put his hand up.
Why not? Give me a call. Look, the sacrifices they've made, I would consider it. Yeah, look, I mean, I only retired last year. I was doing plenty of contact work and training with the Sharkies up until 2 months ago. So to help them out, to help the game out, it's probably a long shot, but I would consider it.
I love it.
Good on him.
I love it. I think most people, he echoes most people's sentiment about the Warriors, that the sacrifices they've put themselves through, that we keep speaking about it. I think a lot of blokes would put their hand up, and already we're hearing maybe Ben Murdoch-Masilla from, I think, Warrington might be coming out to fill a void. Eisenhuth from the Tigers has been mentioned. Young Bateman from the Raiders, who was recently released from the Luke Bateman, the very feeder club that Desi Hasler wanted more players to be playing in. So I think there's going to be an abundance of players who want to put their hand up. It's just how are we going to negate it? I say let them do what they've got to do to make sure they field a competitive side, because we owe them that. We owe the Warriors that for what they've done for the game. They've sacrificed more than anyone in this NRL season, this shortened NRL season. So we've got to make dispensations for them and allow them to do other things that we don't let other clubs do.
Yeah, well said, MG. And we left the last bit off that clip where Gal goes on to say, but he'd only play halfback.
Do you think he'd still have it?
But I think he'd just be great for that organisation. Yeah. Yeah. You know, he's so single-minded in the way that he operates. And I think, you know, to have a player of so much experience at Origin level and at a Test level and to win premierships, to go over into an outfit like the Warriors, who are struggling for that kind of experience within their roster, I think it'd be great for the other guys to learn off.
All right, just one other slightly left field, just backtracking on GI. The other quote, the voice you're about to hear, is Queensland coach Kevin Walters about the possibility of Greg Inglis dragging on a maroon jersey.
You always got to keep your options open, you know, everywhere. And Greg was such a fantastic player for the Maroons over that period of time that he played for us. And unfortunately, he didn't get to go out on his terms as such. So it's always an open invitation when you play for the Maroons. We've pulled some great players out of retirement and back into the Maroon jersey, and with huge success. So Greg would certainly fall into that category.
Wasn't it Alfie Langer? Wasn't he playing for Warrington when he got dragged back to play in State of Origin?
Mm. Even Arthur Beetson was playing reserve grade for Parramatta back in 1980 at 35 years of age. So the Queenslanders thrive upon that. And look, I've got no doubt. I've got no doubt in the world. If Inglis goes over to England and sets it on fire, and we see some stuff in him that you go, you know what, he could do that back here, there's no way, shape or form they won't pick him.
Yeah. Especially if the Blues have won another series.
Yep.
As if it's still Kevy.
Yeah.
Perhaps not, but as if you get the call, as if GI is going to say no. If the Maroons put out an SOS and he's playing well over there, I know during the week he said no, but he'd do it.
All right, well, speaking of the Maroons, next we're going to illegally cross the border and chat with Ben Dobman about all things Broncos.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to cross the border and get to Mr. Ben Dobman. G'day, Dobbo.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Great to be back with you all. Yeah. How bloody good is it? Yeah. Next Thursday night, we get some footy back. Thank God.
How goes the revolution repelling the blue coats at the border still? Seceding at some point, I imagine.
Yeah. My poor parents, Wendy and Robert, they tried to come up to see me, and Anastasia, she's got them blocked, so they sent them back to Sydney. And I just want to say, Mum, I'm sorry. I do want to see you at some stage, but I'm sorry you can't come and visit at the moment.
I love it. As always, there's plenty of news going on inside the Broncos camp. Now, McCullough got a little leaving off to the Tigers.
Yeah, look, this was, he's gone to Newcastle, Tone. What the big thing
Knights,
for it
I
is
should,
that,
yes.
The big thing was that Andrew McCullough, 260 games, 11-year veteran of the Brisbane Broncos, and one of the real leaders, but there's no two ways about it. Jake Turpin got an opportunity last year, and Anthony Seibold liked the way he plays. There's also a young bloke by the name of Corey Pakes, who they've signed, who was a seven that they've converted into a number nine, a Damien Cook sort of like player. Now, they wanted to go that way. Andrew McCulloch's been a leader, but he was on the out. He was obviously on the bench, and he had one more year to go. This is a great news story for the Knights, because they need a bloke like Andrew McCulloch there. That will fit really well, but the big story to come out of this is that why Brisbane have been back training on the main field at Red Hill over at the old Broncos field where they've always trained. Ben Teo's been training with some Bronco trainers, the former Bronco and South Sydney's player and rugby union player, for the last 3 weeks on his own. I went and saw him a couple of weeks ago, and he said, Dobbo, I'm still contracted to the Sunwolves. Well, look, the Sunwolves, they are folding, obviously, because of Super Rugby. I've spoken to the Broncos. The Broncos have been to the NRL. They've seen how much that they could put him under there. And now Andrew McCulloch's gone. There is room in the cap for Ben Teo to join the Brisbane Broncos. It will happen. It might not happen this week, but within the next 2 weeks, Ben Teo, at 33 years of age, will finish his career at the Broncos. And what a handy bloke to have for a bit of leadership. He can play in the centres. He can play on the edge. A great bench player. And it'll strengthen their bench for him.
He's exactly what they need, Dobbo. That's an astute signing from Newcastle for McCulloch and Brisbane for Teo. That is just a win-win for both clubs, because now you put Lodge, Haas, Carrigan, Flegler, Fifita, Pengai Jr., Offen and Gow. It's almost an all-star pack.
Yeah, and mate, Alex Glenn, the captain as well. Yeah. And there's another guy called Pat Carrigan who they've got huge raps on.
He's on fire,
They have got a really great forward pack. And look, Brodie Croft at seven, Milford at six. He's just re-signed for another year. They've got some depth there. The big story will be whether or not Lodge is back this week. Now, I spoke to Matt Lodge. He's done contact training. He will train tomorrow. They're going to train tomorrow, Brisbane. They start their preparations for Parramatta. And it will be whether or not he gets through the full contact 13-on-13 session. If he does play, he'll come off the bench and it'll be limited minutes. there is some thought within the Broncos that do we risk him? I know Parramatta's a big game. Do they risk him for 1 week because they've got the Roosters the following week, save him and play bigger minutes, and that extra week, it's a long season. We know it's 18 weeks straight. They'll probably play him and give him a bit more time. Fifita, on the other hand, he got the brace off last week. He is at least 3 weeks away. They're talking 3 to 4 weeks till you get David Fifita. But you're right, MG, there's so much talent there. I mean, they've got, obviously, Flegler. Flegler had a phenomenal game in that round two game when he played with a big left foot step.
Yeah.
But Joe Offenen-Goway, Payne Haas, Tevita Pengai Jr. still suspended at the moment. So that they are lacking a little bit probably in the depth factor this week against Parramatta. But, mate, it's a long season and they are going to have some strike power in the next couple of weeks back.
And Dobbo, just quickly, Anthony Seibold, is he taking on the Cricket Australia fast bowler rotation routine? What's happening?
Well, I mean, Siebs is a good bloke and he's a bit of an academic as well. So he obviously goes and talks to a lot of other coaches, and he mentioned that he'd been looking at doing some rotation around players. Well, I mean, when you've got young blokes like Tessie New and Jordan Kahu and all these players that won't be playing Intra-Super Cup this year, and they're just playing and training as a Broncos squad member, I think he's got the luxury of doing it. I don't necessarily think that this will be a week-in, week-out thing, but I think the talent that they've got, they will play some lesser minutes as it gets a bit more serious in the middle of the season. And it will also just depend on how well they go at the start. We all remember that semi-final, 58-0, when Parramatta beat Brisbane. Well, redemption, they don't like to talk about redemption, but this Thursday night will go a long way. Brisbane, they're considered front runners and one of the teams that will be in the top four. I just hope that their form can continue because I really like what I see. I know you guys have all got wraps on them as well. They're a good side, and if they have got the depth to rotate this year, I think it'll benefit them in the back end.
And what do you make of their draw, Dobbo?
Oh, look, I think everybody talks about these hard and easy draws. I mean, you've just got to win football games, haven't you? I mean, it's got some hard parts of it, and I think 18 weeks straight's going to really test it out. I think they'd benefit from not having Origin M in the middle of it because they were going to lose a lot of players. I think this gives and it's funny, Wayne Bennett said to me, this will be the first time in 40 years that we see a true premiership side because Origin isn't played in the middle of the competition. So it doesn't matter what team, they don't lose all their stars and they always come back a bit flat. So that's not a bad way to look at it. But I think Brisbane will benefit from not having that Origin because they're such a young team. And, you know, Fifita was always going to play Origin and all these guys are going to play Origin. Lodge is even in contention. Huss. So yeah, it's just they're young bodies though. So it's wear and tear on them. So I think them coming back and not having to do that this year is really going to benefit them. I think stuff the roster, they're a real threat.
Dobbo, great to have you back on board. Catch up again very soon.
Good on you guys. See ya.
See ya, buddy.
Bye.
There is our man in Brisbane. Plenty to come in the final hour we get to share with you, including the game that everybody's talking about, believe it or not.